What is this victory for you as a band, and what does it mean, you know, I guess in a larger sense to you?
Well, to me, I mean, the band is just kind of like a footnote in the entire thing now. I honestly wasn't sure if the band would even last long enough to see through this entire case. I thought bands break up all the time. We've had a lot of turnover. Maybe we won't even be a band by the time this is resolved, which would just be a really kind of weird situation to be stuck in. But I guess the other part of it is that there were so many points where I could have given up, where I really wanted to, honestly, when I was facing bills that were in the tens of thousands of dollars, when I was looking at how much time I was spending, when I had to take on second and third jobs to pay these bills. That was a really tempting time to just walk away from it all and say it's not worth it. But when we were actually looking at how the law was applied, how there's a real disparate impact against communities of color and members of the LGBTQ community, like the trademark office straight up using the law against our communities, using our own identities against us, I thought there's no way I can walk away from this, no matter what it takes, no matter what it costs. And yeah, part of that cost are actual fiscal dollars in terms of like paying for things like appellate printing and court fees. Part of the cost is a pretty good chunk of my life. And part of that cost is, as you kind of alluded to, constantly being accused of being racist or of being some kind of accomplice to a racist football team. But at the end of the day, I had to look at the law and see how it was applied. And I thought, people, no matter how people feel about my band's name, we can all agree that we shouldn't be denied rights because of our race, because we hold political perspectives, or because of our sexual orientation in ways that the government disagrees with. You know, our identities should not be used as weapons against our own communities. So that's why I continue to wage this battle and to continue to press forward despite all these other kind of costs and hurdles. And at the end of the day, I think it is a win for marginalized communities. Too often we're presented with this false dichotomy that it's civil rights versus free speech. But the reality is, if you want to protect civil rights, you have to protect free speech. Because at the end of the day, it is dominant oppressive groups that dictate what's appropriate. And sometimes that means, usually what it means is an experience that's different than oppressed minorities or vulnerable communities. So we should have that right protected for ourselves so that we can carve out our own expressions that can hopefully dismantle these dominant structures, that we can move forward with progress, and that we can share our experiences and in doing so kind of share the humanity of our own communities.
Even though you're a band, you know, you guys have obviously taken on this fight for so many years now. Do you foresee yourself taking on more, or is it time to just be a band for the next few years, or is this now part of your kind of your identity as a band?
I mean, for the last several years, we've been part arts, part activism. I mean, I guess for the last 10 years, for example, we donate 100% of the profits from our second album to research disparities in cancer rates that Asian American women face. We've recently wrote a song and been touring across the country in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. So it's kind of inherent in our DNA as artists to speak about what's happening in our world. And right now the world is hurting. So I think it's going to be a big part of our art for a while. And while we might not necessarily be fighting really obscure bits of intellectual property law, you know, I think we will still be using our art to try and highlight issues that matter to our community.
Is there going to be a victory song?
I don't know, maybe. We haven't written that one yet. We wrote a protest song of sorts, but I'm not sure. I guess we'll just kind of have to see how things develop.
Yeah, that protest song you're speaking about, are you referring to that song that you wrote that was addressed basically to the trademark office?
Correct. It's a song called From the Heart, which is funny because it's something I resisted for a long time with my band members. And they're like, we should write a song about the trademark office. And I was like, that is so cheesy. Why, you know, writing about Section 2A of the Lanham Act is not good art. But my guitarist, Joe, decided to write about a broader perspective of fighting oppression, of saying, hey, you know, it should be all right, and that censorship actually doesn't solve hate speech. And so he wrote the song, and I thought it was great. So we've been playing it ever since.
Any response from the trademark office?
No, just total silence, as can be expected. Well, first of all, they're not allowed to comment on kind of ongoing litigating cases. But what can they respond with? What can they say? I mean, if you look at our case and how it all started, when they accused us of being racist towards Asian people, the only bit of evidence they had was UrbanDictionary.com, a joke wiki site. That was the full might of the federal government talking about the perspective of Asian American people using a joke website to do so. So they have nothing. They continue to make false accusations. They continue to mislead people, saying that groups like the JACL or other groups oppose us, even though they filed briefs in support of our case. But at the end of the day, I think the truth will prevail, and hopefully, as we kind of mentioned earlier, hopefully that narrative will be highlighted.
Yeah, are there any questions that you wish people were asking you, that, or any kind of statement you wish you haven't been asked yet in interviews? Like,
I guess it feels like to me the whole thing has been really responsive, and I just wish that people would look at this in light of the band and in light of all the community groups that have been fighting for so long. There's a reason why the Asian American Legal and Defense and Education Fund fought alongside with us. That's the oldest civil rights group for Asian Americans in the country. They fought alongside us, along with the ACLU, along with the Chinese American Citizens Alliance and Japanese American Citizens League and APANO, and many other groups sign on to these briefs in our support. That story is oftentimes being lost and suppressed because of a football team. I mean, there are articles with my band name on it, an entire article about our band name, but with pictures of a football team helmet. It's absolutely ridiculous. So I hope people kind of reframe that conversation in a bit. But
I'll ask you just one more question. Hey, so you guys are still on tour right now, right?
No, we're actually in the studio working.
A new album's coming out?
Yeah. We've been writing an album for about a year now. We just finished a 2-month national tour, and so now we're just in the studio for a bit. But then we'll be back on the road again later this summer.
So you guys never take a day off or have vacations, from what I can understand, is that at least the Slants, or at least Simon Tam, is the busiest man in America.
I don't know if I'm the busiest man in America, but it's funny. I was joking around with my attorney about it. I was like, I need a vacation. And he's like, what's that? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe Urban Dictionary has a definition for it or something.
Well, Simon Tam of the band The Slants, thank you very much for coming in and speaking with us for KBOO News.
Thank you so much.
For the KBOO Evening News, I'm Jenna Yokoyama.